Exam Objectives Fast Track Chapter 1. Configuring IPv4 and IPv6 Addressing. IPv4 addressing uses 32 bits and a subnet mask to identify the network and host portions of the address. IPv6 addressing uses 128 bits, and the network information is contained in the leftmost 64 bits, while the host information in the rightmost 64 bits. IPv6 uses hexadecimal notation. Supernetting uses the classless interdomain routing, CIDR notation, and this notation is also used in IPv6. IPv6 address types include local link, unique local IPv6 unicast, global unicast, multicast, anycast, and special addressing. Local link maps to IPv4 private addressing, while global unicast maps to IPv4 public addressing. IP4 to IP6 transition technologies include dual IP layer architecture, IPv6 over IP4 tunneling, intra-site automatic tunneling addressing protocol, ISA-TAP, 6-to-4, and Teredo. Configuring Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol, DHCP. The DHCP server role in Windows Server 2008 includes native support for IPv6 and DHCPv6. Scope, reservations, exceptions, and scope options are configured in IPv6 much the same as they are in IPv4. A DHCP server should have its scope and configuration dataset. The scope should be activated, and the server should be authorized in the Active Directory domain in order to bring a new DHCP server online. DHCP and Network Access Protection, NAP, are integrated in Windows Server 2008, providing the ability to deny or limit access to network resources based on the client computer's health status. Health status includes having the latest operating system updates and antivirus signatures installed. DHCP can be configured using command line commands. This is helpful for managing DHCP servers remotely across the network. Configuring network authentication. Network authentication is managed through Active Directory and uses Kerberos as the default authentication protocol. NTLM-V2 is supported for backward compatibility and should be used only if needed. Network policy and access services is a role that can be installed on the Windows Server 2008 computer. It includes Network Policy Server, NPS, Routing and Remote Access Server, RRAS, Remote Authentication Dial-in User Service, RADIUS, RADIUS Proxy, and Network Access Protection, NAP. WLAN access and authentication follows 802.11, 802.1x, and 802.3 standards. Associated protocols include EAP-TLS, PEAP-TLS, PEAP-MS-CHAP-V2, PPTP, and SSTP. Support for SPAP, EAP-MD5-CHAP, and MS-CHAP-V1 has been removed in Windows Server 2008. EAP host architecture includes new features not supported in earlier operating systems, including support for additional EAP methods, network discovery, vendor-specific EAP types, and coexistence of multiple EAP types across vendors. Routing and remote access supports the use of IPsec through transport and tunnel modes. Point-to-point tunneling protocol, PPTP, Microsoft Point-to-Point Encryption, MPPE, Layer 2 Tunneling Protocol with IPsec, LTTP/IPsec, and Secure Socket Tunneling Protocol, SSTP, are supported for data authentication, integrity, encryption, and confidentiality. Configuring IP Security, IPsec. Internet Protocol Security, IPsec, provides peer authentication, data origin authentication, data integrity, data confidentiality, entity replay, and key management. Due to increasing needs for network security, IPsec is being implemented with greater frequency. The AH and ESP protocols within IPsec provide different types of security. Data encryption is provided by ESP, not by AH, making it the preferred protocol. IPsec is integrated with Windows Firewall with advanced security and is also managed through group policy in the Active Directory context. IPsec can be configured via command line commands within the NetSH IPsec context. IPsec can be used to provide server and domain isolation to ensure secure IP traffic remains secure. Configuring Windows Firewall with Advanced Security. Windows Firewall with Advanced Security and Windows Server 2008 includes numerous new features to simplify and enhance both network perimeter and host security. New features include IPsec integration, support for IPv6, integration with Active Directory user, computer, and group settings, location-aware profiles for mobile computers, detailed rules, and expanded authentication bypass capabilities. Inbound and outbound rules, along with connection security rules, provide the network administrator with the ability to create finely tuned rules to protect the network and the host. Connection security rules, including isolation, authentication exemption, server-to-server, and tunnel rules, can be configured with requirements, authentication methods, and profiles to manage and restrict connections on the network. IPsec settings, including main mode and quick mode, computer and user authentication respectively, can be configured to use a variety of authentication methods. Customized IPsec data protection settings allow you to configure data protection to use the ESP and AH IPsec protocols. Advanced authentication methods, including the ability to provide primary and secondary authentication methods, Kerberos, certificates, NTLM-V2, etc., can also be configured within the IPsec settings of Windows Firewall with Advanced Security. Windows Firewall with Advanced Security can be configured using the snap-in from the Group Policy Management console. You can use command line options for configuring, managing, and monitoring Windows Firewall with Advanced Security. Frequently Asked Questions. Question: I'm pretty solid with IP addressing and IPv4, but I'm not really well versed in IPv6. How much do I need to know for the exam? Answer: if you're familiar with Microsoft exams, you'll know that the questions are pulled from a pool of questions and that they'll progressively test you on various elements. So the short answer is that there's no guarantee that you'll see any questions about IPv6 on the exam, whether directly or indirectly, but there's a high likelihood you will need to be comfortable with IPv6 in order to navigate one or more questions on the exam. You should understand the basics, such as the address format, how networks, hosts, and ranges are specified, as well as where you configure IPv6 settings. Also, be clear about the terminology, such as temporary and non-temporary, specific to IPv6, and be sure to be familiar with site local, link local, and other IPv6 formats and naming conventions. Question: I've been reading a bit about Windows Server 2008 online, and there's a lot of discussion about the core version. What do I need to know about this? Answer: throughout this chapter, we've included brief references to the core installation and specifically to the command line commands available to you. Expect to see questions about using the command line on the exam. Command line options have always been available, but the release of the core version of Windows Server 2008 will certainly bring this to the forefront. Where applicable, we've included command line commands to demonstrate how these commands can be used. Don't expect the exam to test you on syntax necessarily, but do expect to see questions related to using the command line options for frequently used features. Question: DHCP is pretty basic stuff, though the addition of IPv6 makes it a bit different. What should I expect in the way of DHCP questions on the exam? Answer: Expect to see questions that test your understanding of DHCP configuration and settings, as well as questions that test your understanding and knowledge of new DHCP features. Since IPv6 is just being rolled into organizations, you can expect to see some IPv6-based questions related to DHCP. Question: there are tons of protocols. Sometimes it's like alphabet soup. I'm having a hard time keeping all these straight and remembering how they're used, or not, in Windows Server 2008. Any tips you can share? Answer: it does seem like every new release from Microsoft comes with a lot of new acronyms to learn, so the ALC, acronym learning curve, can be a bit daunting. You're probably familiar with some of these protocols from previous versions of Windows. If not, you might want to brush up on those before heading into Windows Server 2008. However, here are some basics that might help. First, divide protocols into those used to authenticate users locally, Kerberos, etc., and those used to authenticate users remotely, PPP, EAP, PEAP. It can be helpful to divide the protocols according to these areas so that you can better keep track of what they do and when they're used. Also, spend time in the routing and remote access server segment of Windows Server 2008, as well as in the Windows Firewall with Advanced Security section. The more you see the various protocols being used in the default screens, the more they should sink in. That said, there are a lot of acronyms, and thankfully, Microsoft exams don't test you on acronyms. Most of the time, the item will be spelled out the first time you see it. If it's not, then it's a pretty common acronym, such as AD for Active Directory, or IP, IPsec, or DHCP. Question: I'm not sure I'm clear on the differences between IPsec settings in the Windows Firewall with Advanced Security and the IPsec settings in Active Directory Group Policy. I've reread the material in this chapter, but I'm still a bit confused. Can you provide any additional information that might help? Answer: yes. Group Policy in AD is going to specify how computers, users, and groups must be configured or must interact with the network. If you specify IPsec within Group Policy for a set of computers, you're requiring that all computers to which that policy is applied must use IPsec to communicate with other computers, for example. Windows Firewall with Advanced Security, on the other hand, can be configured to require IPsec for inbound and/or outbound connections. So the computers to which the IPsec Group Policy has been applied, we'll call them the GP computers for short here, can communicate with other GP computers or other computers using IPsec all day long and have no interaction with the IPsec rules in the Windows Firewall on Windows Server 2008. Suppose, however, that one of those computers needs to access an application or service running on that Windows Server 2008 computer, or access something on the other side of that server. Now the firewall rules come into play. Since the GP computer is already using IPsec, it's likely it will conform to the firewall rules and its communications will be conducted securely. On the other hand, if the GP computer tried to communicate via the server to a computer elsewhere that was not IPsec compliant, either the GP policy or firewall rules would prevent that, depending on configuration. GP will apply IPsec rules to computers and groups on your network. IPsec rules in Windows Firewall with Advanced Security applies to inbound and outbound traffic on the server itself. Together, these can create a secure solution, and unlike previous versions of Windows Firewall, the IPsec configuration is integrated to prevent unintentional gaps in IPsec settings.